So thank you. The next one is Otto, and he wants to understand developer needs, which is understandable after talking for designer needs all the time today. And he's going to talk a little bit about user research in FourceJo. Take it away, please.
Yeah, thank you very much. Actually, we FourceJo contributors had a nice meeting yesterday, and we might have found the perfect way to integrate design and user research into our issue tracker and organize it in a perfect way. Maybe we'll see. In any case, I will talk about the challenges we are facing, the things we tried, some lessons we learned from that, and how we arrived at the idea that I will present in the end. Yeah, actually, I do have a very technical background, mostly in web development, and I would not consider myself as a designer yet, but I'm definitely becoming a user researcher. And that's primarily because I think that technology sometimes sucks. You agree? Quite some people are laughing, yes. I think some of you agree. In most years, I never really cared about user experience, to be honest, because, it's nice to have, but right after fixing all the bugs, I will get to that later, I will also implement all the features first and maybe fix all the accessibility issues that my software still has, and we can talk about user experience later. But the technical frustration I had with a very specific tool made me look into user research finally. I'm also involved in Codeberg for several years now. Codeberg is providing hosted infrastructure for software development. We decided that Microsoft GitHub is not the right tool to host your free library software project. And it's actually very sad how many free software projects still depend on large monopolies from the large companies of the earth. Some would even say the most evil company of the earth. We offer Git hosting, issue tracking, CI/CD, static pages, replates, translation platform, and much more. We are open to free and library software projects, and we are powered by donations and membership fees of our legal nonprofit association. We have about 1,500 members. Most of them even have voting rights. So we're really basically the opposite of GitHub, but still working on open source software, and also only powered by open source software, which brings me to FourJo. FourJo is one of our projects. Of course, it's also a real open source community, but it's something that you can host yourself and something that Codeberg hosts. The history of this software project is longer than Codeberg's, but we forked the software over disagreement with the previous upstream. And the nice thing about FourJo is that it is a really nice community, a fork is actually a challenge because you proliferate workflow and you say, okay, can't we all agree on the same thing? Can't we collaborate on what we do? But a fork is also a chance to question the established workflows. And the nice thing at FourJo is that we did, and we changed a lot of things. We completely stopped depending on proprietary services, like we replaced proprietary CI with a free and library one. We moved the translations from a proprietary platform to library one. This is actually a nice idea. And the next thing that FourJo does really nice, they pretty early agreed on doing user research. Actually, before I got involved, someone started doing that. It was stuck for several years, but it was communicating that the FourJo contributors are open toward this, which is actually very important to me, because since I've become a member of design and speaking in a non-technical role, I actually see that a lot of developers don't take me seriously, and I'm very happy that at least the FourJo core tree team does different. I wanted to get started, and I started reading about design. And user research. And for me, coming from a design background, a lot of terms have been strange. I mean, probably designers don't know what all technical terms mean, and I was confused about user research, user experience, user testing, all these terms. And it's very sad because there are not very much resources on the topic. I'm used to having tons of blog articles that talk about how to do X in this technology, that technology, blah, 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 blah. There's really a lot of resources about how to do technical things. But for free library software, for open source design, I went to the open source design website. There's the resource page, but a lot of links are just down, not found anymore, behind paywalls. And actually, I can recommend the a beginner's guide to finding user needs from Jan Dietrich. It actually helped me a lot. And yeah, it is free and library. And yeah, also a lot of articles kind of start with like, this is how you convince your management to do user experience and user research. This is how you increase your conversion rate, and just feels weird as a free software contributor to see a lot of marketing preface when I just want to know how I actually do it. Yeah, even after reading the book, I was still slightly confused on how I actually get started and what the first step should look like. And there was one very tired on one specific Sunday evening. I was like, okay, maybe I'll just create a Nextcloud calendar appointment. I will just post it on Mastodon and we'll see. So I did, went to sleep. The next morning I woke up and I had a fully booked week, actually. I had about 18 sessions in 1 week, most of them booked overnight. It was definitely a great experience. I can recommend this to you. I was not prepared very well. I just started and improvised, and it went very well. I think that especially the first sessions, they've been very valuable because I learned a lot of things from users. If you're going to do that, I suggest that you focus on like 5 sessions for a start and evolve over time, because I feel like the first sessions have been really valuable and then it started to kind of become less valuable, but still very nice. Yeah, and at this point I want to clarify that when I'm talking about user research, I'm talking about understanding users. And often I don't really know how to turn the things I learned into actual user experience improvement, but that's a separate thing. And even the things I learned about our users have turned out to be very valuable in certain decisions when thinking about like how to place a button. I can't know for sure, but I have a lot of data to back my and to make an opinion, an educated opinion, basically. Yeah, also I've been very surprised during the sessions because, I mean, I had a mental model of a user, like implicitly, I never really considered it, but in my head, all the 4J users kind of looked like me, male, maybe young, somewhat skilled with the technology, and yeah, of course this was partially confirmed during user research, but I was also told different because there are a lot of things that are different, and especially some users really have no clue how to use our software because they're used to other platforms. I never considered that because I knew that people are coming from GitHub, but some people haven't even changed to GitHub yet. They are used to completely different workflows or only work locally, or they're legitimate contributors without any tech background that are just edit the file here, you will figure out your way, but actually file editing in 4J is super complex if you use web UI because it was created with developers in mind and not people who've never used Git. I started evolving the user the things that I did. User testing. I think I did this. Yeah, I did user testing, which basically means I let users use our software and observe with the challenges they see. But I also did user research using other platforms. I think it's really valuable to see users using other products, not only yours. I've seen people using all the source forges on Earth, probably. I have done a lot of interviews just asking about like what are you actually trying to do? How do you organize your project? What would work well for you? And just learning about what they're trying to build. I gave them tasks like just do this and I observe how it does. Like my personal favorite is create an organization and add a user to it. People fail miserably because it's really complicated, but I've learned where users expect how to add a user to the organization because they click somewhere. It does not work, but at least I know this is where users click if they want to solve this task, and maybe I should make it just work the way they expect it. Actually, I even gave users tasks that are impossible or not implemented yet. Of course, I resolved this quickly, but just to see like where would users expect this new functionality to how to work like, and this was also very valuable insights at some points. And the last thing that I did sometimes was like, especially for settings that are really complicated, it was like, okay, imagine you could create the settings and you just, all the checkbox that you have in mind is there. How would it look like? And then they told me how they would configure a project. And of course, it does not work this way, but at least I now have like a mental model of how our users expect their, I don't know, repository settings to work. This is also really valuable in my opinion. Yeah, the thing that I did next is actually evolving this via different things and communicating this. And I usually did raw transcripts of my sessions. I highlighted conclusions. I tried to scale up the team with more designers, but this also brought some challenges. For example, the challenge of them not completely being aligned to our free library software ideals. They were just asking, like, can I use Google Calendar? And of course, this is not what we want to do. But and the next challenge that also prevented designers from getting into user research in 4J0 is that we have a lot of complexity. I mean, all the design guides that you have, they basically show, like, this is how you do user research on a weather app. And everyone can relate to it. That you get a task, and I understand what the user is doing. But if I ask the user to just do something, they are not doing it with a theoretically simple way, but they are doing it in their very complicated way. And they tell me about very complex needs, about their complex CI/CD pipelines and how they integrate home automation with CI pipelines and very complex stuff. And sometimes, like, one challenge for me, if I do a screen share and I observe the user doing something, they're just too quick. They just switch between apps. They're typing faster than I do. They use tools that I've never seen before that abstract the thing that I'm used to know. And even with my technical background, I really fail to understand what users are doing there sometimes. And this, I try to invite some of the 4J0 developers into doing user research, but they're not going to do it. We have to be honest. So the things we do are really hard to understand without having domain-specific knowledge. And I really need to integrate our developers into the tool chain, but they're not going to spend a lot of user research sessions. So the second challenge that we have is the issues that we have. They are of varying quality, of course. Some people write very verbose texts, have very complicated ideas. Some write very brief. And over time, I realized that, at least in my opinion, the workflow that most free library software projects have are actually not working very great. And I will ask a question to the audience. If you raise your hand, please keep it raised even for the second question. Like, have you ever created an issue, or like you probably already created an issue in some project. Have you ever been confused about whether to file it as a bug or a feature? Okay, please raise your hand and keep it raised. Did you choose something and did it wrong? Please raise your hand in addition to it. Like, keep your hands raised and raise it, okay? And if you're maintaining a project, have you been ever annoyed because someone did it wrong and filed it the wrong way? Yeah, also some people are nodding. Yeah, actually, bugs, feature requests, is this actually a good idea? And I started to question this, and I realized that actually these things are rather modeled around finding a solution. Like, if we ask for a feature request, we ask the user to think about what they want without describing the problem. And sometimes we have things that are really not clear. I mean, people write, I need this button. And if you ask, why do you need it? Yeah, because it does not exist yet. But the actual thing behind this is, like, what do you want to do with this button? And in the software we have, I mean, it's really old. It was inherited over several projects. We have a lot of features. And also we know, like, the discussion that led to the implementation of something, we don't really know why it was actually needed and which purpose it served. There was like a discussion to implement this. It was accepted. It was implemented. But we have no clue why and which purpose it serves. And people abuse it in very different ways. I will show you something here. This is how I perceive this to work. I mean, people suggest a solution, and my favorite is about a single sign-on thing. So people suggested to put custom text on the sign-in page, because then they can tell users how to sign in. Or you have to disable local login. We don't know why, but people asked us to disable local login. Or they wanted to disable the login sources, certain of them. Or they wanted to set the default login source. Or they wanted to redirect to a specific login page. But the actual problem all these feature requests solve is just one problem, because if you have a company and you have a sign-in with and you still have a local login, people will fill the local login with their credentials. Also, they should click on sign-in with my university or sign-in with my company. And like all these problems basically solve the same problem, and some of them solve it even in a better way. For example, disabling local login would prevent you from having like a local admin account or a guest sign-in. So if we implement it this way, we also need a different solution to the same problem. The same with auto-redirecting. And some solutions actually address different problems. For example, here, the actual goal of disabling local login was that users that are still able to configure a different login source or a set of password, even if they're not supposed to do that. So they try to solve like actually a different problem this way. And if you don't know the problem the solutions are supposed to solve, I mean, the feature requests only look at this, and we have no clue what they're actually supposed to do. And I think this is a big, big problem. And yeah, the next problem I was facing personally was that developers have motivation. I mean, if we have paid staff, we can just tell them to work on the most important issues. But actually, our developers have personal motivation, and they naturally pick the tasks that they're interested in. And so even if I labeled a lot of issues and say, like, this is really important, no one picked them up because no one was motivated to work on these tasks. On the other way around, developers have been really motivated to work on something, but I was not doing research on them because, I mean, it's probably still important, but I can't do all the things at the same time, and I had no clue what developers are actually interested in working on. Yeah, so there was a mismatch between what I was doing and what the developers were doing. And so my idea was to integrate the research into the issue tracker. I tried to split the problem description from thinking about the solution by using like two different templates and suggesting where people should start, and try to involve all the developers into triaging this different issues. And the problem of this workflow was basically that a lot of users were confused about where to start. They used the wrong templates. They were really angry at us because they were like, I've never seen such a complicated process in an open source project. I just want to file my feature request, please. Yeah, and some contributors also did not really understand the workflow, which is, of course, not bad if you want to have like all people agree on the workflow. And I was lost for like several weeks now, or like actually months, about thinking how to solve these problems and iterating on this, try to change wording in the templates, explain them slightly better. But yesterday we had a meeting with some Forgeo contributors, and we actually had a very nice idea. I was really lucky that we talked about this beforehand, because now I had was able to extend my talk. And what we are now trying to do is we clearly define stages, because I mean, different types of issues are somewhat hard to communicate, but like a process that follows certain stages is much easier to follow. We try to create shortcuts so that people don't feel like they always need to go through a complicated workflow, but they could fast track certain things. And what we do right now is basically splitting issues into what is actionable for developers and what is like still in the process of being worked on. A lot of projects implicitly do this by having like a separate forum from their actionable issue tracker. But I feel like an issue tracker has the power to cluster things with labels. Like this is only an excerpt. I have much more research labels where I just cluster issues and say, yes, I want to look into how the instance is configured. I have a lot of users that are confused about how they can filter for issues, pull requests, whatever. So I cluster everything that is related to this and so on. It really helps me classify the various described problems. And I have illustrated the workflow that we're currently trying to go for. So users actually start here, and they file an issue by describing a problem, and only describing the problem, ideally. And the issue is then in the triaging stage. And every Forgeo contributor is supposed to take a look at this and decide, like, is it a really simple problem? Like, is it something that we are completely sure about how it should work, and we just did a mistake, and it is broken? So we can directly label the issue implementation, and some developer knows, okay, I will fix this right away because it's just clear how it's supposed to work. It just needs to be done. If not, then we usually enter research, or we want to enter research. I mean, the research, the ideas from yesterday, we of course did not try it yet, but we want to try understanding the actual need of the user and collecting more data and also finding like other problems that users describe that could be related to this. And once we have gathered data, we want to enter the design stage to draw conclusions, and only when we are satisfied. And I mean design does not only mean technical design, but also UX design. Once it's described, we enter implementation, and the issue is ready for development. And yeah, I hope this will work out. Actually, the other two arrows mean that we sometimes could create issues because, as I described before, like something could, like users could describe several problems, and we want to have one issue that tracks the various problems into one issue, so we would start from scratch there. And I'm really looking forward to trying this out, and I'm curious about what you think, and if you have any questions, just let me know.
Thank you.
I mean, if we had a lot of designers, and I think that's a kind of separate problem, we would, of course, prevent what you describe, that we have a reactive workflow. But I think that, like, as a user researcher, I see that users describe a lot of problems in the issue tracker. And the problem that I'm trying to solve is specific to making use of this data, because it's currently not really used in my research. And that's the specific problem I'm trying to solve. And what I, of course, hope is that this makes our software better and avoids UX problems in the first place. But this, in my opinion, does not replace having like a UX designer who gives valuable input about how to design features in the first place. Like, I think what you address would fit into the design stage, and it would be very great to have more input into the design stage. And we currently don't have a true designer, still looking for one. Oh yeah, sure, go ahead.
I would like to know, I think you mentioned that developers like to work on what they like to work on, and then you have this tagging system. Is that a solution to that problem for you?
I'm not quite sure if I understand this question.
You presented the solution that you came to. Is that addressing the problem that developers are picking up?
Okay, yeah, the question was about whether this addresses the motivation problem, and I think it does, because this allows everyone to proceed. So, like, if a designer, if a developer wants to work on something that is just reported, or they even reported themselves, they can now participate in moving this forward without requiring the user research team to help with that. And I mean, of course, it would help if we synchronize our team members, and I know what others are motivated to work on. But currently, the workflow that we previously had basically depended on me knowing what someone wants to work on and then doing the work. And now I hope that this allows the Forgeo developers to also do the workflow, and it does not depend on me knowing what they want to do. I think it does address at least part of the problem. Yeah.
Hi. You basically have a focus on labels used as constraints. I'll end up with the question following. In this workflow that you propose, do you think that using labels will be fine for starters for doing a workflow like this, or do you expect that you're probably going to have to make modifications for Zeo itself so as to support this workflow?
The question was whether this workflow works well with Forgeo, or if we have to add something. And I mean, of course, I designed the workflow basically around what we have, and I'm pretty sure that we will see challenges. For example, the filtering options that we currently have in Forgeo don't make it quite easy to support this workflow, because you can't, for example, have sub-labels and so on. This would be very useful to me. But I have used the labels actually not specific to this workflow. I've used them in the past, and I think it's possible already to work with the labels and cluster issues this way.
Do one more quick one.
Okay, yeah. Yeah. I think this is mostly true for their contributors to decide. This is, okay, yeah, whether, like, who decides how we go from triaging to implementation? This is actually a decision every Forgeo contributor could make. But, I mean, at the moment, like, the matter is, like, if someone is looking at this and they have the technical knowledge to know that this is just the way it is intended, they will just set the label the same as currently people are moving the feature request to bugs and vice versa. And of course there's a chance that someone classifies the bug as, okay, it can be implemented, and actually the feature that is broken would need a redesign anyway. But I think the chance of this happening is low enough. And I mean, given that we can sometimes just have like a few comments discussing this, and if there's a consensus of like three contributors to move it forward, then we don't have to, you know, enter all these stages. Thank you very much for your attention.